Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation I'm hoping helps your business grow. When it comes to growing your business, it's not a real big secret. You got to hire great people. That's what we're going to talk about today. How to do it, how to not do it, and a whole lot of other stuff that I'm sure will come up along the way. Now, before we get too far into that, I want to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. That's my company. We're going to help you build a software team quickly and affordably. Now, with me today, I've got another Matt, but it's not the other Matt that's often with me. This is Matt Hunkler, and Matt is the CEO of Powder Keg, straight out of Indianapolis. Scroll down to the show notes or go to powderkeg.com. He's going to tell us about what they do at Powder Keg. I love the organization. But first off, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining me. Now, I'm a Powder Keg fan. I've gone to your events before. Why don't you, I like to say no one tells the backstory better than the CEO and founder. So how about you go ahead and give us a good idea about what's going on with Powder Keg and what you guys do. Once again, powderkeg.com.
Yeah, thanks so much, Matt. I would love to share some of the story. It's super cool that you've been to some of our events too. I love it when that's people's first exposure to Powder Keg. Of course, in this last year, we've shifted our events to 100% virtual, just with the pandemic and the huge shift that's happening. And obviously, those massive shifts have had a huge implication on talent and the way you can grow your team, regardless of where you live. But really, that's sort of what Powder Keg was founded off of, was this concept that people should be able to connect with their calling, scale high growth businesses, and ultimately reach their full potential no matter where they live. And so for folks like us living in the Midwest, or people who are on the coasts, whether that be in a Silicon Valley or New York or a Miami or on the other side, Seattle, we really try to do a good job of connecting the right people with the right opportunities at the right time. So what started for us as an organic community, it literally started as an event. It's funny you mentioned events, Matt. Do you remember which event you attended? Was it in Kansas City?
It was, and I've got a great success story with it. It was probably 4 years ago, and my now business partner, Matt Watson, was presenting at Powder Keg, and it was at a distillery, and I can't remember which one, but we went down there and Matt presented, but another one of the presenters was Roy Scott, the founder of Healthy Hip Hop. And I ended up investing, both Matt and I and Full Scale have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into Healthy Hip Hop at this point, but that's where I met Roy. So mission accomplished there.
Hey, there you go. And really it's that sort of serendipitous connectivity that is so magical about Powder Keg, about communities like Powder Keg, particularly when you talk about these Midwest tech ecosystems where kind of everybody knows everybody, or at least is second degree connected. We're really focused on creating more of that density. And it kind of came about actually literally over a decade ago in the back room of a bar, actually in Broad Ripple. Matt, you mentioned you lived in Broad Ripple in Indianapolis. That's actually where the very first Powder Keg event was over a decade ago at a bar called Binkley's. And we were in the back room because that's where we could get free space as long as we ordered enough drinks. And it was very self-serving for me. I was just like, I'm working on my second startup. I need people to beat up the idea, tell me where there are landmines, where maybe I don't know there are landmines, and just ask for feedback, maybe hire one or two people to help me continue growing the business. And it happened very organically. I got a group of 20, 30 people together. And of course, a handful of other people were like, hey, can I also share what I'm building in my business? And that event that you mentioned you were at in Kansas City is basically the same thing that was sort of crowdsourced as the format over a decade ago. That sort of pitch and get feedback before Shark Tank existed. We really just kind of scaled into other markets. And now 100% virtually, people can learn about these startups all over the country, all over the world. We'll have people tuning in from Europe and Africa even to learn more about startups that are growing right here in the middle of the country.
You know, let's go ahead and let that be lesson number one for hiring great people. Get out there and get involved in events and communities and stuff like that, because you'll find like-minded people. And, you know, you look at the investment that we made into Healthy Hip Hop. I mean, Roy was looking for that. And I worked in the music industry. I see you look like you're in a music studio right now. I see banjos, guitars, and drums. But the thing is like, that was a good starting point. And why I didn't hire anyone, investing in something is similar to hiring. Now, when it comes to hiring great people, this is really like, this has so much to do with the success or failure of early stage businesses. And, you know, in a world where people are seeking funding and there's a lot of funding out there, you know, we're coming up on our 600th episode of this show, Matt, and we have been asking investors, entrepreneurs, like anyone, you know, all the way down the road, like, do you bet on the jockey or do you bet on the horse? And everyone picks the jockey because it's the people and the team that make a company great. And, you know, me being a little older and more experienced at this point, I've learned a few things about hiring people, and I've hired 200 people to work at Fullscale in the last 2.5 years. And, you know, like what are your opening comments about the conversation we're about to have about hiring great people?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, raising capital is important, but at the end of the day, 70 to 80% of every venture round goes directly to hiring and retaining the best talent. And so actually, we've run studies over the last several years across geographies, across scale of company. And the number one pain point for high growth tech businesses is consistently finding the right people and convincing them to join your team. And now that the whole world has shifted to remote first in terms of its sort of, or at least the tech world has shifted to remote first, it has completely leveled the playing field in a lot of ways, opened up the talent pool. But now, as a company based in Kansas City, if you weren't competing on a national scale for talent before, you are now. And whether that city is Kansas City or Chicago or Nashville, it has just been a massive shift over the last year, which has been happening over the last decade. So it's pretty exciting time where I think startups that understand how to navigate that will be the ones that stand out above and beyond, because they'll have access to the greatest asset for your business, which is the people.
So we say hiring great people, not hiring good people, not hiring average people, not just hiring people, great people. And I think, like, let's start with talking about what makes someone great a little bit. I mean, I think that we can start maybe first with just like a general number. I need you to be in the top 20% of whatever it is that you do.
Yeah,
both aptitude, experience, intelligence, like all of it. That's the starting point. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. I would add to that, for me personally, my criteria is just as much attitude as it is aptitude. So with that top 20% for aptitude, meaning your ability, your skills, your ability to learn new things, I want that top 20%. I want that top 2%. In terms of attitude, the person who's willing to break through walls, maybe they don't have the skills yet. Maybe they don't have the experience yet, but they're willing to fail. They're willing to be a beginner at it and get good at it because they have the aptitude, but they also have the attitude of a growth mindset and the ability to get behind the mission of the company. So whether that's what you're doing at full scale or whether that's what you're doing, listener, at your own startup, I would always be looking out for that talent that has passion and the right attitude to join your company.
Passion is undefeated.
Absolutely.
In many ways. And you know, that's there are certain intangible qualities of any candidate that you can't train, you know, and you know, you can gain experience, but that doesn't mean that you're a great problem solver. And it doesn't necessarily mean like, okay, we were talking like about the musical equipment behind you. Some people just have like ridiculous talent and they're just really, really good at stuff. It comes really natural for them. Now, I think when we're going to define great, I think it's a fair question in this conversation to say, well, what stage business are we at? Because when you're in the earliest stages of any business, I'm talking like that first year of a startup, for me, great might have a different definition than year five. So in that first year, I want people that are great at being versatile, people that have a great attitude. Now, one of the things that can be challenging is if your business does something that very few or no one else does, you might have to train people how to do it because you're not going to find, it's not like, hey, I own an insurance company and this guy's been selling insurance for 20 years and knows the industry, yeah. You know, because that's usually not the case. And, you know, and overall though, when it comes down to it, passion, having a good attitude, because, you know, that's something, by the way, if you're just listening and you're thinking about doing something different, attitude is something you can control. You know, and then I find that, so passion is a big thing that we look for when we hire people at full scale, because if they're passionate about what they do, it makes it easier to show up and do it every day. And it's not a grind. I actually find that those are usually the most productive people that we have because they're doing it more because they like doing it and they want to do it and they want to find a solution than they are just like, hey, it's 9 to 5. Now I'm done because it's 5:01.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got early in my career was, to really understand someone's why in terms of what your job opportunity means to them and listen for the real answer, not just the interview answer, but what is the real answer that's real for them? So in other words, why do you want to come join Powder Keg and be a part of this team? And of course, the first answer you get is going to be, oh, I love the mission. I love what you're doing. But why is it important to you? And ask that follow-up question. Why is that important to you? And I love the talent that has that chip on their shoulder. And I don't mean like a grudge or resentment, but I mean, they have something to prove. They see the opportunity for growth for them at your company in the role that you have available. And you can tell those candidates, those professionals who see the opportunity and say, I want to come here because I want to be able to help be a part of scaling a product from a product team of 3 to a product team of 300. You know, I've never done that before. I've always been at the later stage, or I've always been in the super early startups stage, but I want to be able to prove that I can go from 3 to 300. And I would love to do that at Powder Keg. Like, that's the stuff I'm looking for. Or if it's a salesperson, I just really want that lake house. That's great. It's great for me to know.
That's not a bad motivation to have for your salespeople, to be honest. Like, it sounds superficial and kind of shitty, but I need my salespeople to like kind of be slightly greedy and just want to like cash checks all day. I used to live in North Carolina and they'd often say a fat dog won't hunt. You know, and that was related to salespeople, because a lot of them get a check and they'll be your top salesperson 1 month and then the next month they're last on the list.
Yep.
And it's not till, you know, and it's funny because salespeople are that's like a whole different episode. We're going to have to get you have to hire them a little bit differently. Now, you know, one of the things, and, you know, our handy dandy staff at Startup Hustle gives me some talking points now. You know, you can see one of the things that's on this list is don't hyper-focus on someone's past. There are things I'm looking for in someone's past, and then there's some things I don't care about. I'm kind of at the point now where, like, and for those of you that spend a lot of money on a college degree, I don't really give a shit about it. I care about what you've done and, like, are you a producer? Now, that comes from someone that's dropped out of 5 colleges. So, You know, now I like it too. I'm okay if you have the pedigree, but that's not my hiring reason. And then you got to kind of delve into it, because sometimes you can look at someone and it looks like they've had too many jobs, but then sometimes they just have the wrong ones. And at the same time, like while I favor stability, hiring someone that's been in the exact same system for 10 years, you may get someone that's, I refer to that as being institutionalized. Like they only know how to do it one way. So what do you look for when you look at someone's past or their history?
I think you touched on a lot of them. And when you kind of mentioned some of those things, you know, work history, the kind of environment they've been in the past, how are they going to fit at my company? All of those things to me relate to company culture, which I know is a totally fuzzy word. And it's really hard to demystify what does company culture mean. But I want to see what someone's track record is. What kinds of companies have they worked with in the past? How did they like those experiences? Did they like being at a high growth startup where you wear 15 hats? Because that's going to be similar to what it's like at Powder Keg while we're going through this scale up phase. Or if you worked at Salesforce and all you know is institutional, you come in, you get onboarded, you do this one thing, you do it really well. There's always training and guidance and support for what you're doing. Are you sure you want to be on the startup train right now? Because that's going to be very different than what Salesforce has been, at least for the last 5-10 years. So I'm always kind of looking at that history as a way of kind of understanding what their cultural preferences are. And an interesting thing out of the 10,000 plus tech professionals we have in our network right now, consistently, the number one reason people join a tech company is also the number one reason that they quit a tech company. And that's company culture. 100% of the time. I thought it might change during pandemic, or, you know, even as things have kind of shifted now and we're starting to go back into office, it is still the number one reason people join or leave a tech company. And that is company culture. And so one of the things I recommend startups do in order to stand out is just visualize that culture on your career page. You probably have this at Full Scale. You know, what are your core values? What are some of the things that make your company tick? What is it like in the office if you have an office space? And what is it like in the remote work environment if you have more of a remote workspace? And a lot of what we've been doing is trying to help startups deconstruct that. So that they can share what it's like working there, because most startups don't have a budget like a Salesforce or like some of these other large tech companies to specifically to build their employer brand or market their culture and grow awareness for what it's like to work at their company. So that's one of the ways I think startups can really stand out as that next place in someone's career. Show a really clear picture of what it's like to work there. And you probably want just as many people saying that culture is not for me as you do people saying that's my place. I can really thrive there, because you as an entrepreneur are then saving yourself from dealing with all of the applicants that are clearly not going to thrive in the culture that you've created, and you become the magnet for the people that you want.
We're pretty at Full Scale. We're pretty upfront. We tell people, right, it's hard to get a job here. Why? Because we really shop off the top shelf. Like we're looking for, I mean, the top 20% is just a starting point. That's just to get you in.
Absolutely.
In an interview. And then the main thing is, you know, as we built the company, and most of our employees are actually in the Philippines, where we got the same complaints about their prior employers. They had shitty equipment. They didn't get treated well, like a whole lot of different stuff. So we just did the opposite.
Yeah.
And then for the clients that we service, and we've got, you know, obviously have quite a few with 200 employees at this point, we talked to them about what they didn't like about offshoring and where that went wrong. It was all the same complaints. It was about communication and timing. Yeah. Like they're only working the opposite 12 hours. They're never, and the team I need is never online when I'm actually awake. So we just made some slight changes, and we made it advantageous for, we look for a triple win. We need a win for our teammate, for our team members, or our employees. We need a win for our clients, and we need a win for the company. And we strive to get that in all cases. And the thing we really realized is we were hiring, once again, like 200 people in 2.5 years. And we had 100 after year one is no small task. So we had to learn a whole lot of stuff and how to be good at hiring and how to weed out certain people and look more towards others. But the one thing that we really realized, especially when it comes to tech, is that when it came to developers, they were just as enamored with being challenged and doing high level stuff as they were with getting paid. So we just give them both of that too. And, you know, we tell people a lot, like, we turn down more clients than we say yes to. And that's because, you know, we need it to be a certain kind of client. Now, that wasn't always the case, but we very quickly learned who we were going to be successful with. And once again, it has to be that triple win. Because if in our business, it's more service than software. But we have a software as a service model, because our clients can drop someone from their team with 30 days notice. So that's a subscription in a way. It's absolutely a subscription to service. And you know, really getting, we spent a lot of time not only building an amazing evaluatory process, which we can talk about next, but getting people in the right stuff. Like, you don't take someone that doesn't want to do something and then, hey, here's your full-time job doing this. It won't last. It just won't last. So, you know, some of that is like thinking about what people want to do, how they want to do it. At the same time, I hate people that show up to an interview and they're like, well, what's the job description? You work for a fucking startup. Your job description is probably going to change every day.
Absolutely.
And like you said, if they're from this highly corporatized culture, that might not be for them, because they're used to difference. They're used to having an owner's manual with it, which is the one thing about startups. They don't come with one. So that's why they go astray often.
Well, and oh, by the way, it works the other way around too. You know, us working with some of the bigger tech companies like Salesforce, like Genesis, like Angi Home Services, you know, someone who's worked in startups their whole life and love that environment, you might not like going into a big corporate environment. You know, maybe the salary that they're offering is higher and maybe they have great benefits, but you're going to go insane if you're used to being able to be a completely autonomous, chart your own path, have a new challenge every single day. And now all of a sudden, nope, you do this. You use this script to say this thing every day. And some people are wired to take that and iterate on it. Other people are just like, I don't want the script. I want to figure it out myself. And so I think you hit the nail on the head. And I love that, you know, the way you talk makes it clear to me that you know your culture and you know how to communicate your culture. You know, those things, making it a triple win. I'm sure that triple win is a catchphrase throughout Full Scale, and people understand what that means. And it's like, I think one of the things that the best entrepreneurs do is they find those things and they repeat them so much that the entire team will be finishing your sentences, because you're that consistent with how you talk about things. But that's what makes a great culture, is consistency and communication across the organization and outside the organization. The fact that you turn away certain clients tells me that you value your company culture. And
well, we'll turn them away too if we think they're assholes, to be honest. Like, if my company's most valuable assets are the employees that we have. That's all we've got. Without our employees to provide services for tech companies, we don't have a company.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we go to a lot of time, effort, energy, and emotion on some days to find the right people. So, you know, at the same time, like, we don't want, you know, you don't need to be a pushover, but at the same, you know, like, some people you can just tell, you're like, these folks are not going to treat our employees the way that we want them to. And then also, it's like, you know, trying to find a level of consistency. And people hire Full Scale because they want to build a team, not because they have a three month project. So that's where we turn the most people down, because our business model is a little different. Like I said, we took all the things that people didn't like about offshoring and business process outsourcing. We just did the opposite. It's been wildly successful. It really wasn't that complicated. So, and we tell our employees that too, like, hey, you're not going to have to work on shitty equipment. Like, how do you hire a developer that's like at the top of his or her career level, and then you give them the worst equipment possible? That's like a ninja without a sword. You know, it's just like, come on, you know, and some of that stuff's just annoying. So, yeah. I mean, really, in the end, so much of it is remember, just because someone, because you want to hire great people, just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean that they're going to care about it. I think that the top, that the great people that you're going to hire know exactly where they should and want to be.
Mm-hmm. And they want to hear that you're turning away customers that are going to be a pain in the ass, because they don't want to work at a company where they're going to be, you know, pushing a boulder uphill every single day, just trying to serve customers that just don't want to work the way you work. And we do the exact same thing. I mean, if a company does not have to know everything and all there is to know about employer branding and culture, and that's a big piece of what we want to help them with. But if they don't even get behind the idea of your company culture is important, or behind the idea that sharing what your employer brand is going to help you attract the right types of talent, we just know it's not going to be a fit, because we know that our 10,000 plus tech professionals, they're there because they care about the culture and because they want to work with the best employer for them at that point in their careers. And you're already doing that. I mean, the fact that you were already hiring remote talent pre-pandemic, now you're ahead of the curve, because every company's trying to figure this out now. Now that
we're doing it, we were really good at it, because we have a whole system, and it comes down to, with tech, it's challenging because people have to show you the technical skills. And then here's the thing, that's really only half the story. The other half of the story is it's the same for all. It doesn't matter if it's tech, but you want people that, I mean, you'd like to see some industry experience. You'd like to see relevant experience. You'd like to see attitude. You'd like to see problem solving and critical thinking skills. We look at likability. Likability is a real thing, and I'm a huge believer that you can't train it. You're likable or you're not. Like, you can manage being in the margins, but you ever known someone that's so likable they could tell you that your baby was they could tell you your kid is ugly and you'd thank them for the feedback.
Sure.
You know, and maybe even tell them you didn't want another kid, but you'll have another one to show them you'll get it right. But likability does matter. And then we even look at marketability, because some people just don't sell themselves well. And that's part of us is finding a link between a company and the service providers we have. So some people just aren't that marketable. It could be a number of different things. And then the main thing we favor the most is communication.
Yep.
Because if you're going to be remote or on the other side of the world or anywhere, if you can't communicate, you are going to struggle as an employee in almost every situation. So communication is a big thing, and not being afraid to say, hey, look, this is not good. We need to stop and think about this. How valuable is that if that occurs once effectively, occasionally? That can be a big deal in any company.
Yeah, it's immeasurable. The impact of that is immeasurable. And I think the fact that you're even considering those things pre-hire puts you in the top quartile of employers. I would love to talk about what you've learned and sort of what we're seeing in the marketplace as more and more companies are hiring remote talent and are looking at building distributed teams, whether that's in a fully remote environment or some sort of hybrid hub and spoke type of model. There has been this massive shift, and I really believe it's the employers that figure out how to navigate this are the ones that are going to be the top companies in the world in a couple of years.
Well, for us, at Full Scale, if you want to learn more about Full Scale, go to fullscale.io. First off, we built our own management platform. We built because there was nothing that did what we needed it or wanted it to do. And that is as simple as like time clocks, daily reports, things like that, things that provide stability and communication. Now, we had already been building that when the pandemic hit. And then all of a sudden, we were like, God, first off, thank God we built this. Second off, we actually sat back and said, do we have something that's commercially viable here? We said yes, and then decided not to take it to market, which is okay. Because our business was growing so fast, we're like, you know, we're going to be just great at this one thing that we're really good at. And, you know, so, and then so much of it, like overall, you talk about company culture. Well, look, people talk, you know, like, and for us, our number one recruiter is our own employees.
Yep.
So we incentivize our employees to bring the best people they know to us and say, hey, this is a great company. And you know, the thing that's probably the craziest that just blows my mind. So I've gone over it once again, we're largely in the Philippines, and I'll go over there and I'll be there for a couple weeks at a time. And I will leave and I'll ask management what their feedback was from the employees about me. And they'll say, well, all the employees are just really impressed at how much you came around and talked to all of them. And I was like, what CEO doesn't? Like, who have they been working for? Like, why? Like, right? Like, for me, that's the most valuable part of my visits, is sitting down and getting to know these everyone. And it's hard to do. It is hard to do when you have 200 people and I know all their names. And yep. That's shocking, but it shouldn't be. Like, and that's the thing that really, you know, but that's what brings the culture. And then making sure that people are heard, you know. So before I arrive for my visits, we put a box on the front desk, and you can ask anything you want. And it's kind of funny because I've gained a reputation for making sure I answer all the questions. So sometimes they're kind of funny, like, hey, Matt, do you drink? Want to get wasted? Yeah, that was a question once.
Love it.
But people in an organization want to know that their voice is going to be heard. It doesn't mean that you have to cave every time. Because by the way, the more employees you get, the more they're going to ask for things, because it's just the nature of math. Yeah. The more stuff that comes in. And then, you know, and then you also have to understand that ever since the world invented the manager, employees have not liked managers. So, you know, you're going to get a little bit of grumbling, but we literally do town hall. So we sit there and I'll answer the questions. I look through them, so I'm not just pulling the same ones out and, you know, same question six times, but that kind of listening and involvement and answering the questions that people have about the company in a fair and transparent way, it has so much to do with why our own employees tell the best people that they know. And, you know, here's the thing is if you begin to build that kind of culture, people get past the imperfect moments, because there's plenty.
Yep.
There's a lot of them, Matt. And, you know, that's the thing. And like, and you're able to say, hey, look, I know this isn't perfect. We're talking about it. We're going to figure this out. Hang out. This isn't going to continue to be a problem. And it's always about things that matter. You know, like, occasionally you'll have someone in management that's maybe not doing a great job, you know, and then sometimes they are. And it's a matter of getting down to the bottom of it. And sometimes it's just about letting people gripe a little bit.
Yep.
Because they don't even necessarily care sometimes that you're not going to figure out the solution and do it the way they want, but instead they just wanted to be heard.
Yeah.
So yeah, and so I think that's it. And then really in the end, it's like, hey, look, I care about all of you. I care about this company. My family depends on it like yours. Are we working to do something great together? Because if we are, and we're all committed to that, we're going to be fine. And I mean, we have almost no turnover.
That's amazing.
Like, I mean, it's nuts. Like, but it, and
so, you know, how do you expose those things to candidates and potential team members? So you've got this culture where people don't leave. You've got this town hall format. You've got the box on the desk and all these things that uniquely make your company. How are you exposing people to that in that hiring process? Whether that's institutionally, or it's like you said, you know, your current employees talking to other employees, and that's your marketing machine right there.
Well, honestly, on some levels, we don't expose them to it until we know that it's someone we want to talk to. We had 250 people apply in March.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's a lot. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. It's not like thousands, but 250 is a lot, man. So you got to get through that. And while we do list some of the things, like, you know, I mean, here's the thing: top pay, top equipment, top benefits. Okay, let's start there, because those are just like those core things, right? Like, you're going to have a hard time winning without any of that, you know, and you need to have that. And then past that, it's like just kind of letting people know, but we get to know them. So our hiring process, and if you want to hire great people, you can't be in a hurry to do it. You got to get to know them a little bit. And so we just, we've created 40 different certification tests.
Oh, really?
So we let candidates, and they're ours. Like, we wrote them, they're for us. And I don't mind telling, we use HackerRank
as
a platform to deploy them. But we've made them all our own. And so with that, we want to see someone be in the top 20% of one of those certifications. And if you're not, you don't even get an interview. And we even have like an English language test too. And because here's the thing is if you don't speak English, then you're not going to fit very well in what we do. So that's right. Important. And then past that, we go through a process where it's technical assessment. So we have a team of about 20 different people that you don't talk to all 20. They're just good at different things. And, you know, here's the thing is if you're an expert and if I'm an expert and I'm interviewing you, I'll know if you're at least close to an expert or not. It's very difficult to have a conversation between two experts and have both of them be experts. And they're like, no, that guy doesn't know shit. Now, if you're faking it, I'll know it. I'll have a pretty good idea. And then at that point, we will, you know, push someone along. So they get to know our employees along the way to doing it. And you know, here's the thing is with that, sometimes some people get upset. They're like, your assessment tests were wrong. That wasn't the real answer. Really? Because I got a lot of real smart people that would disagree that passed it and seem to be doing well. So, you know, you start to have to kind of deal with the volume of it. But when we zero in on when we know exactly what kind of people we're looking for, and when we do, then, you know, we want to get to know them. And we want to another thing too is, especially given the pandemic and everything, even though tech and tech workers and IT people are in high demand, we present stability. So we actually went from just hiring people to now giving people a minimum 2-year contract. Like, hey, you get 2 years. Like, hopefully you're not a train wreck because that's on my dime. But yeah, right. But you know, the crazy thing is, Matt, is like, I'm so confident in our hiring process. We're patient. We're kind of like that championship baseball player, like the batting champion. That's not someone who swings at pitches outside of the strike zone.
Right.
They know exactly, if you talk to a batting champion from major leagues, they know exactly what they're looking for. They're outthinking the process and they're patient. They're patient, which means you have to pass on a lot of stuff. And like right now, it's excruciating because we have a waiting list for our services. And it would be very easy to operate outside of the margins of what we're used to. And we don't. We will stay there, which sucks on some days. Because if you want to hire great people, you cannot get them to show up to the interview in a linear way. They just show up. They you can't predict it. You might have to talk to 50 people. You might have to talk to 5, but you got to know exactly what you're looking for. And that's hard. That's hard, especially if you haven't had experience. How many people, we have interviewed thousands of people to hire 200. So we got pretty good at it. And that's what sucks for a lot of startup founders is hiring great people is tough because you might not have. Well, first off, if you're trying to hire IT or programmers domestically, good luck.
Yes.
There's like 400,000 open tech jobs right now. Like,
it is wild.
You'll get 3 applicants. You'll get 3 applicants. And honestly, if you're an out-of-work programmer in the U.S. right now, I am legitimately asking myself, what's wrong with you?
Right. Right. Very, very high demand right now. I mean, that is probably the number one problem we solve for our customers is a solution that allows those software developers to look for their next role privately without disclosing that they're open and looking, without throwing their resume out and spraying and praying across job boards. That's not how the best programmers are finding their next job. It's not how the best marketers are finding their next job. It's not how the best salespeople are finding their next job. It all comes from network and building that reputation. And I think what's beautiful about what you do at FullScale is this whole thing, the podcast that we're on right now, it's all employer branding for your podcast or for your company, right? So for people who are listening to this and are now listening to episode 599 of the Startup Hustle podcast, they've got a pretty good idea of what the culture's like, because guess what? They're spending an hour each week, or they're binging it and listening to an hour a day or several hours a day.
It helps us hire better people, actually. 100%. Startup Hustle and Startup Hustle TV. Because actually people want to work for a cool company. They don't want to work. 100%. You at first as an employer think that you have a disadvantage to Globo Megacorp. You don't. People don't want to work there. No. I mean, I've been in Silicon Valley talking to startups about this. I'm like, how do you compete against Google, Facebook? And they'll tell you, a lot of people just don't want to work there. They don't care. They don't find any passion in helping build and support a platform where people share pictures of their dinner all night. That's not what they're passionate about. And it's a good point.
The thing that those big global brands do have, though, is they have a known brand. And there are those stories of what is it like to work there. And Google's, you know, take Fridays off to work on a project and problem that's not in the OKRs or the KPIs. Just be innovative, right? There's all those stories out there from those big corporations. What I love about what you're doing here is you're competing at that level with those corporations, and you're putting out a signal that is, we're not trying to be big corporation. So that's the thing. People fear the unknown, right? And so that's why a lot of people go to the big brand, is because it's a known thing. I at least know what I'm getting there. Whereas a startup that doesn't market themselves, doesn't talk about what it's like to work there, doesn't have a founder who's out there in public and visible and creating thought leadership, they are largely unknown. And that, to a lot of people, is something that they're going to steer away from when given the option of going to some unknown brand or going to Google or Facebook or some well-known brand.
So go hire people from there. And that's like, and I didn't want to get out of this episode without saying that, look, the best people already have jobs somewhere else. You got to go out. Look, here I am, 200 employees deep into this. And I spend time every day recruiting employees.
Absolutely.
Every day. I use LinkedIn. I use a number of different things, and they all have jobs somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's for big companies. Like in the city we're in the Philippines, Accenture has 6,000 employees. I don't look at that as competition. I look at that as an opportunity. And, I hire people out of there all the time, all the time.
Absolutely.
Because you have an advantage as a startup. And a lot of these big companies, they got so big that it's all slotted out. You're just working that next 6 months to go from like blah, 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 specialist 4 to blah, blah, specialist 3, or the other way around, you know? And the thing is people don't want to just be employee 84362. They want to be a part of something that matters. They want to have a sense of appreciation for what they do. By the way, that's another thing I think is really important. I thank our employees a lot. I was recently given an award from Forbes, and they're doing the top 1,000 startup entrepreneurs. And I was honored to be in their first 250 they announced. And nice. I did an interview, and here's the thing. I don't really care about that kind of shit. Like, I'm not really driven by that, and I can't pay my bills with awards. So I did a different interview that was about that. And I said, I'm happy for our employees, because they're the ones that won the award. I didn't do shit. I just accepted it. Because if it wasn't for them, no one would be talking about us. And, and if you're a leader and you're a founder and you're someone that's wanting to hire people, and if you've let any of that get past you, I work for them, Matt. Absolutely. I work for my employees, not the other way around. And go to a country like the Philippines and start saying stuff like that and see how the reaction is. It means a lot, because it's really not about, it can't be about you. It has to be about them. And you do work for them. It's your job to help them be successful.
I couldn't agree more. And we actually have a couple of team members in the Philippines as well. Our longest team member has been with the company over 5 years now. He was my first employee after I left my last high growth startup and just knew I needed a virtual assistant for everything I was doing. And he's now taken on chief of staff role for the team. He understands the company culture. He understands the inner workings. And I truly believe that global teams just have a leg up on anyone that's just centralized in one location. Simply because you have that muscle memory, you have access to the best talent, and you can recruit from anywhere if you take that sort of remote first approach. And so I see a lot of companies, obviously, that had to scramble to figure that out last year. But now the companies that have really figured it out, how to work with remote teams and how to scale that culture, regardless of where the employee is located, those are the ones that are crushing it. And it sounds like Full Scale is top of the pile there.
We're getting there. Like it's so we're in Cebu City. That's the second biggest city in the Philippines, and no one's ever heard of it for the most part. About 1 out of 50 people have heard of it. You seem like it's beautiful, man. 72 to 92 degrees every day of the year. It's a tropical island. It's filled with awesome people that want to do awesome things. So we love it.
There's a little town that's just a short drive from there, called Oslobe. Have you been there?
I have not. At least I don't know.
Next time you go back, put this on your to-dos, because it's probably the top five experiences of my life was going to Oslo and swimming with whale sharks. The whale sharks come in every morning, which are totally harmless, but they're the largest fish in the ocean because they are sharks, but you know, they're whales. They're harmless whales. They're the size of a bus, and you're swimming in the ocean with a snorkel and a swimsuit with like 50 whale sharks. It is the coolest experience I've ever had. Highly recommend checking that out.
You know, we were talking about like an experience overseas and whatever. People ask me a lot, what's it like to have an office in the Philippines? I'm like, it's like having an office here. We have two entire floors of about a 20 story building that's in the middle of an IT park. There is the Filipino version of Starbucks at the ground level. I mean, it's just like honestly, the office we had there was way nicer than the office we had in Kansas City for a long time. Okay, so I got two things that I don't want to come in for a landing on the end of this episode without these, because I think this is important. If you want to hire great people, I do think it's really important that you're crystal clear about the expectations you have with the company. Like, look, this is winning, this is not. These are the kind of things that'll go well, this is not. Now, for my local leadership, I have a completely different set of expectations than I do for our tech staff. Yeah. And honestly, like I have really high expectations. So I will sit down with a candidate and I will, if I think I want to hire that person, I will actually sit down and almost try to scare the shit out of them. I will from an expectation standpoint, and it's like, hey, look, this is what you can expect. And you know what? On some days I can be a pain in the ass to work with because I have high expectations and I don't come off of them, and I'll hold you accountable for it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. It's just the way I am. And if you don't like that and you get butt hurt easily about feedback, you do not want to come work with me. Right. And I tell people that. And like, here's the expectations. Like, and when we have 200 employees on the other side of the world, we're not always a 9-to-5 shop either here.
Sure.
Sometimes we have to be online. You have to be online at 11 o'clock to talk to people when they're actually awake. So, you know, some of that. And then, you know, and I think that that's fair. I don't think you need to always have like a crazy detailed job description about everything, but you do need to let people know what to expect and what they're getting themselves into. Even if it's just so later, they're not like, no one told me about this. Oh yeah, I did. We sat down. We were really clear about it.
Being clear and setting expectations up front, continuously communicating those expectations, that those are the foundations of a good culture. And I don't necessarily mean that, you know, your approach to scaring people off is better than someone else's approach. It's like, just get on the team and you'll find your spot. You know how you lead the team. And the fact that you're clear about that allows people to opt in and say, yeah, that sounds like me. I want to work for that team. And the people who are like, you know, I want to know that after 6, I can be with my family and I'm never going to get hit up. And you can just say, hey, that's great. This is not the company for you. And for them, they can say, great. You know, still love what you're doing. Let's stay in touch and figure out the next thing. So I love that you communicate that consistently and get crystal clear with people. That's fantastic.
So I said I had two. I got one more. You got to trust your gut. You know, that's why you take your time. That's why you go slow. That's why you meet with people more than once. Because I can't tell you how many times I've loved someone on a first meeting. By the time I got to that third one, I'm like, man, what was I thinking? Because if they're wearing you out in the interview, or there's something that just doesn't seem right, what's that going to be like in 3 months? Like, the one thing I've learned about employees is the ones that in the 15-year history of me creating jobs, the great ones are usually great right away. They are. They don't come in clueless and slow as hell and whatever. And I look back at I turned 46 in a couple months, and I'm really on the trust the gut thing, man, because my gut's undefeated. Now, my human decision-making process, very flawed on many points in the timeline. But, you know, like it, like I said, do you have a good feeling about it or not? Because if you don't have a great feeling about it. You need a great feeling about it. And that's back to that discipline, like that baseball plate discipline. Like, you don't swing, if you're swinging at a pitch that's in the dirt, you're never going to hit a home run with it. You're just not.
Yeah.
So trust the gut.
I agree. I think the thing that I heard that I love calling out to hiring managers and leaders is that your trust, sort of the nuance of what you just said, and let me repeat it back to you, make sure I got it right. But you collect lots of data and information, and that's the first step. And it's like, once you have the information, then it's trust your gut. And I see leaders get this wrong all the time, where they use the trust the gut thing at the front end, and they just say, I don't know, that doesn't seem right, they're out. Whereas what you're saying is, like, even when you say, oh, that feels pretty good, go through the process, get the additional information of the other two interviews, and you're the sort of nuance there is, it's like, if you've got the information, like, give yourself, like, sufficient information, then trust your gut. But it's yeah, when, well, people get that, get it backwards, that they can kind of end up missing the big opportunities.
When we go, I can't talk to all 200. I can't interview all 200 people that we'll hire. Not. So we've created a really smooth process for that. But if I've got someone that's normally really patient and they're like, this person might get annoying, I know that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty easy. Now, if it's someone that I'm going to work with and be around every day, and that's the difference. See, the hardest part about defining company culture with a company like FullScale is technically we have about 50 different cultures because we work for 50 different companies and our employees need to fit into those. And that's why I said, though, that's why you want the good attitude. That's why you want the versatility. Like, I love, in some cases, I want Swiss Army knives. In some cases, I want swords, and you're one or the other. You're usually not both. So. Yeah. Because it takes time to be good at all of that. All right. So we end my episodes of Startup Hustle with what I call the founder's freestyle. Why do I say my episodes? I'm not the only host of the show. Make sure you tune in on Tuesdays. Join Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology, and talk all about e-commerce and Amazon sales. On Thursdays, join Lauren Conaway, the founder of Innovate Her, and she talks about all kinds of stuff too. If you haven't had enough Startup Hustle at that point, did you hear we started the TV show? I'll give you some advice. Don't start your own TV show. It's a lot of work. So you can head on over to YouTube. Just type in Startup Hustle. We're pretty easy to find. You're going to get some raw and real tips from entrepreneurs and founders at all stages of business across a variety of different industries. It is not just tech. It is not just Kansas City. We have people from everywhere. All right. So here we are at the Founders Freestyle. Matt, once again with me today, Matt Hunkler, the CEO of Powder Keg. Go to powderkeg.com. Matt, you know, when we look at this just topic of hiring great people, I mean, what, first off, do we miss anything? And what's the best advice that we came up with today for anyone that wants to hire great people?
I love the Founder Freestyle. It's my favorite segment of the show. The one thing I would say that we missed is get a broad range of inputs. And we kind of touched on it here and there. But I think one of the best things that, whether you're a founder or you're just starting your career in startups, is just get a broad range of inputs. Be generally aware of what's going on, not just in your industry, but in adjacent industries, in other tech hubs or just cities in general. And the more you can kind of have a general understanding and not just have your blinders on all the time, that's where you get those big level up moments where you say, hey, if I leveraged this new platform with what I'm already doing, you can get that kind of 10x growth. Or if I took my experience in this industry and took it over to that industry, I could 10x my personal career growth. I would say that's my number one piece of advice, hands down, regardless of stage at startup. And then the one big takeaway, I just loved hearing you talk on this podcast, Matt, about your culture and getting clear and being clear on communicating that culture, whether you're the founder or you're the hiring manager and your own team has its own microcosm culture, which you just touched on in terms of, you know, different members are parts of different teams. get really serious about communicating your culture. If you already have core values, great. What are other ways that you can communicate those core values? If you already have a diverse and inclusive team, great. Talk about how you build that. Get on podcasts, share articles, contribute to articles, share your story. And I think you do such a great job of that here on the Startup Hustle. And I just want to point out that meta lesson that I think is in this show, that you do such a great job of communicating the full scale culture and employer brand.
Well, thank you. And that's good to hear, especially from someone like yourself, Matt. And, you know, for, I think to close the show out, I think a couple things that come up is, you know, all the stuff you said, without a doubt. And then if I have to add on to that, go look for talent, you know, mm-hmm. like don't just think you're going to just throw up a job ad. And then you look at things like LinkedIn or just, I don't know, man, it's a very connected world. And, you know, if you have very specific needs, go look for people, you know, go reach out and go try to find them. The greatest employees you're going to find are probably already employed somewhere else. And
the lesson at the very end of the event, show up to events, go check them out.
Yeah.
Don't just sit at home.
Go talk to people.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, you gotta, and then I think that the next thing is be patient, you know, like you gotta define what you're looking for. You might have to have some flex inside and out of that. Cause a lot of times what I run into is people will call me at full scale and they'll be like, we're looking for someone that does A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And I'm like, man, E, F, and G are like three qualities and skills that you will almost never find in someone that has A, B, C, and D. So if you're waiting for that person to show up, you might be waiting for a very long time. And so either you need to decide that that's two different people, or you need to find the right person that is smart enough and has enough flexibility to figure it out quickly. It's hard to go broke hiring smart people. that's kind of true. And you know, that's smart and clever are two different things. Both qualities I admire in developers and in entrepreneurs. And maybe that's another episode for us. But we're out of time in this one. Matt, thank you so much for joining me. And for those of you listening, go to powderkeg.com. They do some awesome stuff. Hopefully there's an event. Well, there is an event coming to you somewhere sometime, because it's all online right now.
Can I make a quick invitation here?
I would love it.
We've got an upcoming Unvalley conference. So this was a huge hit in December when we hosted. We had the co-founder of AOL, Steve Case, who spoke, along with Arlen Hamilton, co-founder of Backstage Capital. We had almost 1,000 people all over the world attending this virtual event. We've got our next one coming up on May 19th and 20th. And we have some amazing speakers. I might even try to talk Matt into being a speaker as well. But we have some amazing speakers from all over the world that are going to be speaking there. And if you use the code STARTUPHUSTLE, you'll literally get 50% off your ticket, which is literally less than $20 anyway. But you can get 50% off your ticket price, 2-day all access pass, and connect with some of the best talent and build your team.
I like it. All right. I'm out.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.